Hello everyone, pura vida, bienvenidos to Lead with Heart. I am your host, Dr. Jesse Hansen. We are in Uvita, Costa Rica at the lovely Oxygen Jungle Villas. Hola hermano.
How are you?
Brian, bueno verte. Come on in everyone.
Our receptions, Tania, Aaron.
Hola, hola. And then what's this here? You've got amazing dining space.
Like a main area, the pool, chill restaurant right here.
And this view, of course.
National Park Marino Ballena. Right there on the right side, you can see the white sail.
This resort is mostly for couples, right?
Yeah.
And I understand there's a lot of emphasis on wellness here, right?
Exactly, our spa is in the middle of the forest.
Oh, I wanna see that. Let's go check it out. Wow, this space is incredible. So immersed in nature.
You can hear the river, the waterfall.
Oh, wow. I would love to get a massage here.
You have to. Right here, the idea is that the people come to the spa. Also, they have the opportunity to walk.
Oh, so the river is very close, just walk down. Oxygen Jungle Villas is part of the wellness tourism movement. And as a psychologist and retreat facilitator, I know that this is a wild time on the planet. People are no longer wanting to just sort of go on vacation and check out and maybe get drunk or run away from their problems. They're more open to facing them. And to me, that's all part of why Lead with Heart exists, integrating wellness into their vacation.
As you see, we are in the middle of the nature, 15 minutes, and you are in the waterfall, the river, the spa.
Wow.
That kind of experience are unique.
What an incredible space you guys have created here at Oxygen Jungle Villas with that blend of hospitality and wellness. Thank you so much again for hosting us today. And we're about to dive into some deep, heartfelt conversations. Authenticity and vulnerability are superpowers. So let's see how we can all do our part to lead with heart. Pura vida. Thanks for watching. Welcome to Lead with Heart. I'm Dr. Jesse Hansen, and today we explore the essence of leadership beyond strategy and status. You're watching Now Media Television. Hello, and welcome to Lead with Heart. I am your host, Dr. Jesse Hansen, and this is the show where strategy meets soul, and we dive deeper into the stories, the hearts, the vulnerabilities of great leaders. So today, I am delighted to have with me Dr. Ian Rabb. He is a certified addiction counselor, recovery coach, and intervention professional with more than 2 decades in the field. He's the founder of Clean and Sober Now, where his team supports individuals and families through intervention, counseling, and recovery coaching. And he's guided hundreds of people toward recovery. He's also held senior clinical leadership roles connected to Kelbourne Recovery Center and Universal Ibogaine, bringing trauma-informed care into high-complexity addiction treatment environments. And I'm also going to acknowledge and own that Dr. Ian Rabb and I actually met in a live filming experience on A&E's intervention TV documentary series.
We did.
I was the interventionist on the show, and Dr. Ian was at the time the clinical director at Kelbourne in Canada. And we actually met live in, you're getting true tingle, right? It was so beautiful. Yeah. We met live and the films cameras were rolling, and we just, you know, saw each other and connected at a soul level, and yet we had to continue to complete our mission, which was the transfer of the care of this particular patient. So here we are now, gosh, three, four years later, and we've been through quite a journey together.
We have.
And just so honored to have you on the show today, and I know there's so much we can go into, and yet today I really do want to honor the container of this show, which is not only to highlight all the amazing things that were just presented in your intro, but to really look deeper at who you are as a human being and where you've come from. And I know you have quite an amazing story, and we have such a small section here to talk about it. So out of that wonderful wild ride you get to call life, what are some of the key things, Ian, that have really helped, you know, create you, and develop you?
Yeah. So I just said a couple days ago that I wouldn't have given up the time that I spent addicted, on the street, sex trade, organized crime, like all the bad stuff that happened. Yeah. It doesn't own me. Yeah. I don't live that way. But I know that if I had not had that experience, I wouldn't have been able to transform at that point into who I am today. And then, as we, you know, I mean, there have been so many iterations of Ian as I've gone through this. I think the very interesting thing, because I look at addiction treatment as, or addiction, that it's not the drugs and alcohol or the shopping or the sex, or really it's an obsession.
Yeah. It's and, crazy parts of right, us that aren't settled, right?
Right.
We're looking to escape.
And so I've been able to, and I think it's a thinking problem, not a drinking or drug problem. So I've been able to trace my issues back at the time to like 5 or 6 years old, when the brain starts developing, mm-hmm. where I started creating narratives about who I was and where I was and how I fit in that were lies. And so I built a whole life on untrue and unhealthy narratives that were not true.
What were some of the most damaging ones within that?
Well, it stemmed from like, how do I look? How do I feel? What do people think? What do people say? And I say that very generally, right? But if you're a kid growing up in school and you're in constant thought of self, the obsession, which is divinely impossible to satisfy, okay? So you start doing, and I before drugs and alcohol took part of my life, I was like the perfect golden boy child. Mm. Four university degrees, every sports team, I did everything, right? Wow. I was just that guy, right?
And you looked perfect on paper.
I looked perfect to the outside. Everyone wanted me to marry their daughter, and everyone wanted their sons to be like me, and which was another narrative which was impossible to carry. Right?
With the narrative of like you're
being
Superman.
Perfect.
Yeah,
being perfect. Yeah. And then so that narrative really, it really was a destructive force. That was probably my first addiction. Yeah. Right? With me.
Perfectionism. Me. Yeah.
And the my outsides never matching my insides ever. Mm. And the interesting thing of this whole world of who I was, so it took me down places entrepreneurially as a young man. But, and then the same entrepreneurial skills or the same skills, social skills, landed me in organized crime. They landed me in places in my life. And when I came out of addiction, I still had those skills,
right,
which
right.
were quite beautiful, but they had a different attachment.
And you could use them for more healing.
Well, started to think I was using them for more healing. The other story about who I was, like, so, I remember at 20 years sober, saying to a friend of mine who also was in the addiction treatment space, right? Who was also 20 years sober, who also owned treatment centers. I said, so do you ever look back 10 years and look at who you were? Mm-hmm. Because ego deflation at depth, which is necessary for every single person I've ever met that has the ism. I don't like to call it alcoholism. I don't like to label it that. But I self me, the ism, right?
Yeah.
And so I said, do you ever look back? And he said, what do you mean? He couldn't even understand what I was saying. And I said, I thought I was the most selfless, wonderful, unconditionally loving human being in the world. Mm. And I was still driven by 100 forms of fear, ego-driven. The ego was still driving in the background, even though my actions were on the... Yeah. And I meant them. I'm not saying I wasn't who I... It wasn't authentic. I wouldn't have been able to say then, oh, I'm still being driven by the ego.
Right.
But even 10 years prior, the ego was driving everything. So the interesting thing about this journey that I call recovery and also enlightenment, I've always believed that conscience, the barometer that we're built with from birth, that knows right from wrong from day one and reacts right from wrong in safety and other things, I've always called that the core, the light. I've always called that the power.
Yeah.
Like it's right here.
Yeah.
I just stopped listening to it. I stopped listening to it because I manufactured all those lies and those narratives about myself to be able to survive. And, if I hadn't found drugs and alcohol and sex and gambling and whatever, if I hadn't found that stuff, I probably would have killed myself.
Mm.
Because
the pressure.
The selfishness and self-centered thinking, the fear, social anxiety around the untrue, unhealthy fears that existed in my life,
right.
which I probably didn't even know were unhealthy and as I was growing up until I started working on this side of the world.
Right.
Like I said,
right.
So I started doing work.
Ask you, so basically what I'm hearing, because so often, as you know, I also have a big background in addiction, my own journey, but also Passages Malibu, supporting others. So often it is, that comes in teenage adolescence. But what I'm hearing you say is you rocked it on paper. You looked really good. You were the golden boy. You did this. You became doctor.
Which was my addiction.
Right, right. Yeah, which was your first addiction, was the performance and the continual driving all the way to doctor status. And then roughly give me a sense of when these shadows really burst and anything you're willing to share of what started happening and just how, yeah.
So the shadows were always bursting. Because we have this conscience, which I tried to block as much as I could. You know, do it, don't do it, not a good idea. You know, those,
yes.
That the voices that
angel
kind of,
the devil.
Yin and yang, whatever you want to call it, that I could have listened to the right voice. We have that in us, every one of us, right?
Yeah.
But, and I didn't know those voices really were driving me, yeah. Right? But the truth is that I don't even look at it as a continuum. Like, everything just happened. And everything's still happening. Fortunately, I've had the ability or the vision, and I had a great mentor. I met an 82-year-old guy when I first got clean who really understood, like, Carl Jung and, like, understood some stuff about wholeness.
Right.
So I knew that everything I did till I got sober and clean, I was seeking wholeness,
yeah.
Even from 5 years old.
Yeah.
I wanted the insides to match the outsides. I wanted my outsides to match that guy's insides. Mm. I wanted that guy's outsides to match my insides. The thinking is so crazy, actually. Like, so I think about going at recess. You go out at recess. Every kid goes out at recess, right? And they pick teams for dodge, whatever it is. If I was picked third or fourth, not 12th or 15th, I would think I was the worst person in the world and no one liked me.
Yeah.
Right? Like, that's just an example of one of millions of things that we don't consciously kind of contribute to our.
And I want to highlight, I love everything you're saying, and I want to highlight, if you're willing to, just because the essence of this show is about the heart and soul it takes to transcend deep shadows. So if you're as much as you're comfortable sharing,
yeah,
how did those shadows start popping?
You disappearing. How did I start seeing them, or how did I start
eliminating
them?
How did they start to show up in, you know, as you've accomplished all of this? And yes, it was an addiction, but it was a high functioning addiction.
Well, till the end, I ended up on the street, man.
Right. That's so, what I'm wondering. If you're comfortable going into what was that like?
Well, when you start losing stuff and your life is a lie.
And you were a doctor.
I was practicing.
Life, and yeah. You literally lost everything and were on the streets.
Correct. Not understanding why I could, not understanding for a second why I couldn't quit. I had so much will in my life to do other things that were good. And I'd promise myself every night before I'd go to bed, or if it was 3 nights, whatever, 3 days, I'd say, I'm never doing this again, and could not understand why I couldn't stop. And by 2 o'clock the next day, back in it.
Wow.
And so I, you know, again, the substance, the shadows are, you always have moments of clarity. I remember doing some of the positive and negative stuff I'd done in my life, you're just all of a sudden you're like, oh,
yes.
I'm a doctor. Why am I doing this?
Yeah.
Right? But the other thing, the shadows that started happening after all those accomplishments, because I also came from a family where I believed and there was pressure that there was a demand to have those accomplishments. Yeah. It wasn't till way later my parents said, yeah, we wanted you to be a doctor. Right, we told you, we engaged in that conversation with you, but you could have been whatever you wanted.
Yeah.
And I thought my process, my shadow, was that I had all this pressure
to be a doctor,
to be whatever, a lawyer, a doctor, a professor, like that. The only time there was a condition on the love and the respect I got as long as I had A, B, C, D in line.
Right.
And the biggest shadow, right, where I started learning that stuff is like, I imposed that on myself. No one imposed that on me.
Yeah.
All self-imposed.
Yeah.
So, you know, the darkness was, you know, and drinking and drugging wasn't always bad.
Yep.
I ended up on private jets. I ended up in Vegas. I ended up with some pretty cool people.
Right.
Which justified and rationalized the behavior even further.
Yeah. Makes it more tempting.
Well, it's just like, I'm not so bad.
Yeah.
Even though I go home and continue to get loaded.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
But I mean, beyond the addiction, or I go home and try and figure out why I can't stop, or I still had the huge ego.
Right.
And no self-esteem.
Yeah.
So what was apparent to me is I was a kid, and I even talked to my dad at 17, like, there's something wrong. I don't know what's wrong. This is way before addiction.
Wow. Yeah.
Like, there was something wrong.
I want to jump in here because we do have to take a quick break here in a moment, but I want to just quickly for our viewers recap how amazing it is to hear about this man who I'm sitting with, who has really been to hell and back probably multiple times, and status of doctor on the streets. Let's continue to stay tuned here and learn more about his story when we get back from this break. We'll be right back with more insights, stories, and practices to help you be from your whole self. This is Lead With Heart on Now Media Television. Leadership isn't just about decisions. It's about presence, compassion, and courage. I'm Dr. Jesse Hansen, somatic psychologist and healer. And on Lead With Heart, we explore what happens when we lead with awareness, compassion, and the body in mind. From brain health to relational intelligence, from trauma-informed leadership to embodied teams, each episode reveals a deeper way to lead. Lead With Heart is airing now on Now Media TV, because the greatest leaders don't just guide people, they awaken them. And we're back. I'm Dr. Jesse Hansen, and you're watching Lead With Heart on Now Media Television. Let's continue embracing leadership with presence and purpose. Want more of what you're watching? You can stay connected with Lead With Heart and all of your Now Media favorites simply by downloading the free app on iOS or Android. We're on Apple TV, Roku, and all the major Spotify, Apple podcast formats. So please stay tuned to Lead With Heart and all the other great shows. And we're back here now with Dr. Ian Rabb. We've got an exciting opening here of a man who's been, you know, again, just through so much already, willingly admitting here that there was an addiction already or an obsession in perfection and accomplishments. You open up a little bit about, you know, losing all of that or at least being on the streets during it. This segment, anything else you want to share about your shadows or what it is, but also I really want to help viewers understand where you've been moving in the last, you know, decade or so, how your life's been shifting.
Well, again, loaded, because every moment for me is a shift, right? Yeah. Every moment in time, every experience.
Yeah.
I was thinking in the break a little bit about how the rationalization and the justification of who I'd become, and the unhealthy narratives that controlled my life. Yeah. Even in the sense when I was really hitting bottom, I'd left Chicago and was living in Denver. I got involved with disorganized crime versus organized crime. Mm-hmm. Like I arrested 7 times. Like
wow.
Things that are just kind of like at 25 years sober almost, I sit back and people say to me, you did that stuff?
Yeah,
right?
Like a different lifetime.
It's not even real.
Yeah.
Because I can't even imagine it. But I remember like the moment like when my sister said, I can't help you anymore. Mm. Everyone was out of my life. I was now
you were burning
not
bridges.
Practicing.
Yeah.
I was living to use and using to live. And living in Denver and started getting in trouble and without any help from
family,
anyone.
Yeah.
And my dad was the only one in my life, the only one that was standing beside me. My mother was so angry at me. She would, you know, just remind me all the time how, and I blamed her for everything, granted, but how terrible my life was going. Yeah. And my dad was enabling. And I just remember saying something, the only way I'm coming back to Winnipeg is in a box.
Mm. A casket.
Correct.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, get them, keep them scared. And not even realizing how I was affecting at that point. I'm a 30-year-old man, you know, affecting my family at depth. And my sister's like, you got to get out of this house. I can't have you here. Wow. Called my dad, and that's when the shoe dropped. And he was like, I had to testify to a grand jury. There were things that were going on that were insane. Like, couldn't believe I was in it.
Wow.
And, you know, it was actually a DEA officer that kind of saved my life.
How so?
Well, she'd arrested me a couple times and she gave me her number and she goes, what are you doing with these people?
Yeah.
You don't belong here. And I was her that she was the first person I called on a bunch of stuff happened. I called her. I said, I need out. And there's a whole story around that, which we don't need to go into. But I went back to Winnipeg. Talk about shadows. All my friends were married and careers and houses, and I'm driving back in my U-Haul with my dog, you know?
Yeah.
Still getting loaded all the way to the border because I had to cross a border after 15 years in the U.S. And I was entering this new life, which I had zero clue what it was going to look like.
Wow.
Right? Like, I knew I was going back to Winnipeg. My brother was very established there. My family was established there. My friends had been all there that I'd
so like what eliminated. Starts happening for you though? What starts happening for you there?
So all the failure and the shame and the guilt and the pain and the recollection of what my life looked like for those years after being perfect, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And a lot of people didn't even know what was going on for me. I was the last kid of our friend group. Anybody would have thought would have had an addiction. So I came back and it was a very, very scary time for me. Although the ego is a precious thing, you know?
Yeah.
I was way cooler than anybody in Winnipeg. I was in treatment. I'm cool, you know, like.
Right. Bad boy.
From the, perfect, the whole
perfect
thing.
Perfect guy to the bad
wearing
guy.
Wearing a badge, like I was an escort. I'm wearing a badge, right?
Right.
But I started unraveling and I started started understanding at depth all the things we talked about earlier.
In my language, you started doing the work.
I started accepting and understanding what was wrong. And when I knew what was wrong, I could start actually building this thing called conscience or the power or the connection to others, to my family, to God, to people. And it was just so, it was an intense feeling because everything I'd sought my whole life was, I didn't know it, was wholeness.
Right.
And now I'm in the process of becoming whole, or thinking I'm becoming whole.
Well, you're
the shadows, there was some, you know, because there's this ego play and who I am. And
you're still, like, you still have, are you still practicing as a doctor?
No, I never licensed. No, I never didn't lose my license.
You didn't lose your license.
Okay. I just never thought I'd ever go back to Canada.
Okay, wow.
I shouldn't have been an eye doctor. You know me. I bounce off the walls. Can you imagine me in a dark room? What looks better, one or two? You know, like, you know, you like it like this or like this? Okay. Like, that was not the right place for me to land anyway. You know, and I had no emotions attached to even being a doctor. I just needed to do it. Like, it was just the paper.
And so common, I know, definitely true for myself and many healers I know. And for me, healers is doctors, it's therapists, it's energy healers, it's everyone. But healer, heal thyself. So what I'm hearing in your story is now's the transition.
Correct.
Where we're getting into some lotus activity. We're getting into turning crap into fertilizer. And it's not a straight line, I'm sure.
No, and there's been as many downs as there are ups.
Yeah.
And as many failures as there have been successes. Now, how do you navigate all of that stuff when you have an obsession that's out to kill you? Not an addiction anymore, right?
Yeah. Yeah, meaning you're getting clean. You're starting.
I was clean already,
but
still managing around what people thought of me, like managing around the thoughts. Okay, now what's the goal? You know, for me, what was the goal?
Yeah.
I wanted in 5 days. I thought I should be
perfect.
Like, not only perfect, but I could, you know, I should be able to. I could use meth for a lot of years. Like, how I can't even sit still yet.
Yeah.
How am I going to sit still at that point?
Right.
And so understanding brain chemistry, like understanding the connection between mind, body, soul.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I knew, so that's from in a different way. I had soul cancer. That's what I had.
Well said.
Okay.
Well said.
I had soul cancer from a little boy way before drinking and using.
Yeah.
The solution to the soul cancer was the drugs and alcohol, which were a symptom of a bigger problem.
And the escape method, and maybe it's a disease, but it's a dis-ease. There was something.
It's a dis-ease.
Right, something.
And it got me out of the thinking problem, right? It gave me, and it was the first time, like, drugs and alcohol gave me peace, and I didn't know that.
Right.
Now, how do we get peace without anything?
Yeah, or just with ourself.
Well, that's the point. God, what I mean, that's what I mean by without anything.
Without any.
Which is became substance. The journey of transformation.
Yeah.
So, you know, starting to, first of all, buy into the language and the new narrative and the truth.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the one thing I knew from very early on is that love and authenticity needed to drive who I was. Radical honesty.
Yeah.
Radical. I mean, I didn't know how it was going to help me. I really didn't.
Yeah.
But I had people with, I had mentors. That were like,
and you still had your own consciousness that somehow knew love. That
was, and I was
love
still
was
sick,
away.
And I was still sick.
Yeah,
really sick. My brain chemistry, my heart, my soul.
Yeah.
I was recovering from. You don't just turn it off and say all the guilt and shame is gone.
Right.
I'm good again. You know, you've destroyed so many lives.
And so often, the more guilt and shame comes in, the more it nudges us back towards the darkness.
Right. And so, ebbs and flows into. New kind of levels of consciousness. Now I call it consciousness. I didn't even know it was that then.
Right.
I called it the conscience. I always knew that.
Yeah.
Now I'm becoming conscious through consciousness.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Which has been a driving factor of everything I've tried to do in the last 15, 20 years.
Right.
Again, sometimes egoically and more often than not authentically.
Yeah.
And you can feel your body, how your body shows up,
right?
How you take care of yourself, our self practices, the things that we do are the things that really can, the action is really what tells me where I'm really at and what I'm doing. Cause it's really easy to get
your mind
lazy
can say
again.
One thing, but your body's actions are really telling the truth.
Correct.
Right. Yeah. Okay.
So getting your skin to fit.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Like that, that darkness around who and what I am and all of the narratives that are untrue,
right?
You have to, you're constantly fighting it. That's the unraveling.
And because I know I know a good bit of where your life is now. Just before we take this next break, tell us a little bit just about how that shift starts to happen from you doing your own work to realizing you want to support others on this.
So when I realized I had done, and I could go through 10 things of crazy, that I had the John Bradshaw that wrote all the Inner Child books as my life coach. I did Landmark. I could give you a list, right? Trying to fix this problem.
Yeah.
Well, I was addicted even, right? Mm-hmm. And nothing landed, right?
Yeah.
So that's a beautiful position, beautiful place to be, because it's a process. What I realized is the development of self, the development of goodness and health and healing. And so I started trying anything I possibly could. Mm. But I heard one man, I had one guy I believed, and he said, do this, and I kept doing it. And he brought me to meditation, and he brought me to a number of things that I had to continue in my living till the changes occurred.
And I'm guessing there was more about embodiment and not just more talking and thinking, but actually
learning
how to.
I had all the answers.
Yeah, you knew it.
Everything came from my head. Yeah. And so what I knew, though, at that time was that I felt a certain way since 5 or 6 years old, and this was my only problem. Mm-hmm. I had one problem with one solution. Mm-hmm. I used to think I had so many problems that you couldn't solve.
Right, right.
I was the problem.
Yep.
Conscience was the solution.
Yep.
I didn't know how and where. Yeah. And that's been an ongoing journey, as you know.
Yeah.
I had the biggest transformations in my life in the last 5 years.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right?
Absolutely.
That opened me up to something even more incredible of who I've always wanted to be. I can't wait for the next 25 years.
Yeah. Beautiful. Nice to hear from someone that's come from that past.
I just know that that this continues as long as I want to stay connected.
Yeah.
Wow. Right? In the actions I take. Yeah. And so, and that's been, as you know, a big part of my belief in my journey. I was an avid 12-stepper kind of abstinence-based guy.
Yeah, yeah.
Until I ended up in a position where I had to investigate other things and kind of let go of my contemptuous, prejudicial
dogma. Wow.
Right. And so to speak as a sober man, an abstinent man, knowing that there's this stuff out there that I've now touched into over the last 6 or 7 or 8 years.
So Ian, thank you so much for sharing. We're gonna find out more about the art of transformation through Ian right after this break. We'll be right back with more insights, stories, and practices to help you lead from your whole self. This is Lead With Heart on Now Media Television. Leadership isn't just about decisions. It's about presence, compassion, and courage. I'm Dr. Jesse Hansen, somatic psychologist and healer. And on Lead With Heart, we explore what happens when we lead with awareness, compassion, and the body in mind. From brain health to relational intelligence, from trauma-informed leadership to embodied teams, each episode reveals a deeper way to lead. Lead With Heart is airing now on Now Media TV, because the greatest leaders don't just guide people, they awaken them. And we're back. I'm Dr. Jesse Hansen, and you're watching Lead With Heart on Now Media Television. Let's continue embracing leadership with presence and purpose. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Lead With Heart. It's Dr. Jesse Hansen here today with Dr. Ian Rabb.
Hi.
Hi. Welcome back. And we have been learning more and more about Ian's journey. This segment, we're going to continue to hear how his story is progressing, and we're going to weave in the elements of the lotus, the transformation. And as a psychologist, this is probably my favorite segment and section, because I love going into the actual healing work of how did you start really transforming and bring us up to speed with, where you are now.
Thanks. Transformation is the most beautiful thing in the world. Yeah. And this series is Lead With Heart.
Yeah.
So I don't want to leave it with my head.
All right. Let's go heart. Let's
right?
go
Like, heart. I really don't. I want to go for the longest journey in anybody's life is from their head to their heart. And I'm like a knowledge guy, right? And I can tell you all about where and how and why and young and this one and that. But the truth is that I think as the ice started melting from around my heart.
Mm-hmm. Thawing.
I started being able to really see me as I really am.
Yeah.
And I think that humility's and becoming, taking action in your life every day, which allows you to have more and more humility,
yeah,
and accepting yourself as you are in that moment, that's where the real, like, the lotus started blossoming,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And yet not understanding the connection between brain, body, heart, mind, soul. Like, you know, you start working in this stuff, and I did lots of it. I sought it, you know, on many different levels.
Yeah.
But the true healing came when I started having, like, these true, authentic, open observations of myself that were alive in true narratives.
Yeah.
Right?
Okay.
So you start opening your heart and helping others. I knew that I had to go from selfish, self-centered to selfless giving.
Yeah.
I had to take action in certain things. And so for, you know, it probably got me into this space where it occupied my silliness.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. And then I started really understanding that, oh, I have the ability to transform others' lives by sharing my truth and my heart. And knowing that it was possible.
So one of the first major steps I'm hearing saying is that shift from selfish to selfless, right?
And without condition.
Giving, yep, without condition. And because, like you said, that distance from the head to the heart, you know, talk to me about your experiences with somatic, body-centered approach to psychology, to recovery.
Which is beautiful because it's really where I work now. I had no understanding until the last 4 or 5 years around how the body even played a role in this,
yeah,
until I understood the body played a role in this.
Yeah.
Okay? I understood looking good, vanity, the gym, like I understood feeling good from that physical perspective.
Yeah.
But I had no connection between, I thought everything lived in my mind.
And I want to jump in on a quick powerful insight you're helping me see is that, you know, like you said, I could go to the gym, and so many times people are like, oh yeah, well no, I'm connected to my body because I go to the gym or whatever it is. And of course, I absolutely support that, do it, it's great for us. But embodiment in the somatic world is the next step deeper, where it's like my body's not just something to take care of or a machine, but it is actually housing parts of my consciousness. It is actually housing, I call it the crazy kids, the different parts of us, our past memories. So here you are becoming who you really are. You've got all those past stories in you, and yet somehow you keep leading with heart to move forward, to become who you are today.
Correct. And I craved authenticity. I craved love. And I craved giving love, and I made every mistake possible. I didn't understand that forgiveness was that you don't forget sometimes.
Right.
People, like I didn't really forgive myself for things. Nor did I understand what things that happened to me really young, in child, like birth to 5 or 6, how that was even affecting my life. I knew consciously that my things happened. My mom was ill. I was sick. There were things that happened, and I knew those things, but you don't blame anybody for that stuff, and you don't know where that sits. And I knew I came from a grandparent that was a survivor from the Holocaust, and I knew there was, I it's all right to know that stuff, but you
what
don't.
What do you do with it?
You don't know that it lands in your cells, in your body,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
10 generations, they say sometimes,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Which I'm not going
to
get into.
So the ancient stuff. But what happened to you? How did you start to move forward?
So in failure,
yeah,
I'm now the prodigy recovery child, working in recovery, opening treatment centers, doing interventions, saving lives. My mother couldn't go anywhere without someone saying, you know, you saved my son, you saved my grand, like, right? Going from that place, you know, into more darkness.
Mm-hmm.
And the only way to get to the next level of any kind of spiritual healing is through darkness. I didn't know that either.
The way out is through.
The way out is through,
yeah,
right? But again, it was in all of those processes in dark times,
yeah,
that ultimately I started feeling it in my cells, in my body, in my, I knew there was something different.
Yeah.
And so again, plant medicine, like there were things, ceremony.
Yep.
And things that I did that started allowing me to see things that needed to change,
yeah,
in the way I postured, in the way that I forgave myself,
yeah,
in the way I forgave others, in the way even that I related to people,
yeah,
and the subconscious places that I put myself in,
right,
you know,
right,
like really, really you know, I made partnerships in my business life in the 10 years that were the worst partnerships in the world, and couldn't, instead of saying, what's going on for me? I'd be like, wow, oh, it happened again. It happened again.
Go into victim.
I go into the story.
Yeah. Well, and, it's awesome to see you role play that out. Just right? How, what a different person you are.
Yeah, right.
When you're open like that.
Right. And I saw, so, and not accepting it and understanding it and being yeah. available to it.
Yeah.
And so then when you start, you know, using your body to stand tall, become who you really are authentically.
Yeah.
Again, I thought I was authentic.
Right.
That's yeah. why I said the future is so exciting to me. Because what else am I going to unravel, yeah. you know, through tomorrow's work?
Right, right.
Right?
No, I appreciate it. And I, you know, for my own journey, yours, so many people we both have supported through addiction, recovery, awakening of any sort. So often we are looping in our head and we've done all the work. We've put in the hours at Landmark or CBT or whatever it is. And yet this whole world of somatic psychology is still pretty fresh and new, and it's getting there. It's becoming more mainstream.
Oh, it's becoming the thing. Come on, Jeff.
And it now is becoming the thing. Somatic breath work. Right. I understand you know, you're into
certified,
this.
Yeah.
So I wonder, Ian, the next steps of this is, so you're giving us a good sense of kind of, yeah, you, and you also mentioned ceremony. And as you know, I'm a huge advocate for bringing in the ancient wisdom into our modern world. And isn't it powerful to recognize that in all of our ancient traditions, ceremony didn't necessarily have to deal with plants and psychedelia, but Correct. It had to do with one common theme, was embodiment. Almost every single ceremonial ritual that we can read about in different tribes and clans and whatever, it had to do with fasting, it had to do with dancing, it had to do with being around a fire, it had to do with something natural.
Community.
And community.
I mean, right? I know that like honest communication with friends protected by a wall of human community, as my definition, right? Like, that's what happens in these group settings where we actually become authentic to ourselves
and connect and be witnessed.
Others.
Yeah.
And that's just the greatest gift in the world. I always knew that witnessing others recover. And the most important thing, I think, we keep talking about addiction, right? Like so much of my work, my radical honesty is with families.
Yeah.
Who all have, so you're sitting around with a very close family with one addicted child or husband or wife. The narratives around the table, their own dis-ease around their family.
Yeah.
So what I'm saying by that is, as I started seeing, becoming embodied, working on the somatic stuff, feeling and expressing myself differently, you know?
Nervous system regulation.
In me, as me, is me.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I started witnessing that in families. I knew that we had to start making changes, and that gave me the vision and the insight to like, this is way bigger than me and an addicted person and a family and this world. And you're right, we had good food and we had the gym, and I, you know, everybody's, they're so busy trying to be doings,
right?
Doing the right food, doing the right meditation. But even in wellness, even in this spiritual space, people, including me, we now are doing 8 a.m. I have to have 2 eggs.
Yeah.
Like, yep. Right? And we're so busy still thinking we're being, because we're doing it in a healthy way for the first time. And what embodiment and somatics gave me is like, I wake up to the truth. Yeah. I wake up every morning.
Because the body doesn't lie.
The body doesn't lie.
No. The nervous system just knows what it knows.
And I'd much rather be in my head
to
answer the questions.
Yeah.
Because I'm so
incredibly
brilliant, Jesse, you know, like... So smart, you know?
Yeah.
But I'm joking. No, I'm being a little sarcastic.
You're hyperbolizing, but you are actually quite brilliant. You've got many degrees and all that. And yet I know what you're getting at is to say it's easy to do that where the real work is in the heart and in the body and really honoring everything we've been through, because our body doesn't lie and it doesn't just automatically forget or let go of something just because I said, oh yeah, I'm going to let it go, or I'm going to write a letter and burn it. Those are great things to do, don't get me wrong, but it's not that simple.
No, it's not. And it takes honest connection.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right? And I want to be whole.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay?
Beautiful.
I want to be whole.
Yeah.
And that's a really weird thing to say, because lots of people think they are.
Yeah.
I just want to continue the journey to make sure that I live truthfully and honestly.
Yeah.
And if I'm not doing the embodiment, the group work.
So what I'm hearing here, Ian, is that, after all the years of academia and creating all the degrees and your perfect version of your life, then it all blows up into immense shadows with substances. Not to say the shadows weren't there, but they get glorified here. Mm-hmm. Now you're 25 years sober and you're roughly 5 years on what I call the deeper somatic awakening path, right?
Emotional sobriety.
Emotional sobriety.
Emotional recovery.
Right.
I don't like sobriety. Emotional recovery.
Yeah. Emotional recovery.
Where maybe it's time that I'm growing up.
Yeah.
And I don't mean that in a defined grow up. I mean like, you know, I'm okay with being where I'm at when I'm at in that moment, in that second, without having all of the outside noise.
Yeah.
But that didn't happen. I could have told you I knew it was a problem for a long time, but it happened when it was when I was ready. Or when the world created an opportunity for me to be ready and open to that. And you said, ancient wisdom, which has just been my rabbit hole of the last number of years, and the wisdom and the brilliance around
what happened
in many worlds,
yeah.
which really was the same.
Yeah.
Just so that explained to me.
Yeah,
I'm that Capricorn guy that needs to see something,
yep.
and read it. But when I started like investigating, really where we came from, and what we're missing,
it's powerful, right? This ancient wisdom. Dude, we're gonna have to take a quick break here. But the whole point of this, the next segment, is all about wisdom. So we're right on point.
Okay, good.
We'll be right back to go deeper into Ian's story. Stay tuned here on Lead with Heart. We'll be right back with more insights, stories, and practices to help you lead from your whole self. This is Lead with Heart on Now Media Television. Leadership isn't just about decisions. It's about presence, compassion, and courage. I'm Dr. Jesse Hansen, somatic psychologist and healer. And on Lead with Heart, we explore what happens when we lead with awareness, compassion, and the body in mind. From brain health to relational intelligence, from trauma-informed leadership to embodied teams, each episode reveals a deeper way to lead. Lead with Heart is airing now on Now Media TV, because the greatest leaders don't just guide people, they awaken them. And we're back. I'm Dr. Jesse Hansen, and you're watching Lead with Heart on Now Media Television. Let's continue embracing leadership with presence and purpose. Hello, everyone. I'd love for you all to stay connected with Lead with Heart and all of your Now Media TV favorites by simply downloading the free app on iOS and Android. You can also stay connected via all major podcast platforms. So please keep watching Lead with Heart and all your other Now Media favorites. And we are back here on Lead with Heart in this final segment with Dr. Ian Rabb. Thank you again for being here. You've been opening up beautifully, just sharing so much of a pretty wild ride. You said in the beginning, there's been so many incarnations of Ian, and I know we've only tapped into a small handful of them. So I sit here with a lot of respect and reverence for you and how far you've come in your life.
Thank you.
In this final segment of the show, the main theme is wisdom. And it's also an opportunity for you to help bring it all fully forward to who you are now, as well as who you are becoming. Mm-hmm. So from that place, One quick wisdom I want to name just to kick us off, to get us started on this segment is, you know, you kept mentioning the distance from here to here, and it's obviously a theme. It's part of why I created the show Lead with Heart, but just naming it's another example where I see the biggest, deepest shifts happening with the courage to go beyond the mind into the heart and body. And that to me is wisdom that we all need. It's ancient. And now conveniently it is validated by modern neuroscience and quantum physics that this is actually the way. So what do you know about this?
You know, when you said this segment is about wisdom, my senses went off around, no. Not knowledge.
Yeah.
Wisdom. It's a very different word.
Yeah. Knowledge of the head, wisdom of the body.
Correct. Right? And I really thought it was important for me to define that for me, not for you. Because I got the knowledge, dude. You know, I got the knowledge. I can bring it out. I can sell anybody on what I think about it and why it works and why it doesn't work. That doesn't mean people are ready to see when they're... People are only ready to see when they're ready to see.
Yeah.
They're only ready to do when they're ready to do. And they're only ready to speak when they're ready to speak. Yeah. See, hear, speak, right?
Yeah.
And I don't know when that is. I had an epiphany... this is hilarious. I had an epiphany after a ceremony that I participated in when I had a bunch of conditions on what people were allowed to do and not do, especially clients.
Yeah.
or people in addiction or people with mental health issues. And I was like, I'm not God. Okay?
Yeah.
I have, my knowledge is I have a lot of information and I have the ability to use identification with families, with people in recovery, with executives, with corporations, with family office. I could go through my repertoire of consulting for First Nations. Like the stuff I do is quite fascinating to me.
Yeah.
Not fascinating to me because I'm so fascinating, but I get to consistently stay in the study of this stuff, right?
Yeah.
But wisdom is one thing and knowledge is another. And I lived in my head. I had a great therapist at one time. And it was on Zoom during COVID. And I'd tell her, well, you know, I learned, and you know, I do, and you know, and she would stop me all the time and she'd be like, dude, like what's going on here? I'm witnessing your body, I'm witnessing your leg shake, I'm witnessing your how uncomfortable you are because you're just repeating what you think you learned and so you know it. So
and you were avoiding.
I was guarding everything. The shadows yet again were protecting me because I knew so much. So wisdom's a great thing, and I probably spent too much time talking about the difference between wisdom and knowledge. So wisdom is in the action. Wisdom is in the doing. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Wisdom is in how we show up, not what we say.
Correct.
Right.
Right. And I knew after probably my first ceremony, I started speaking different. And didn't know why.
Okay? Also, what do you mean different? Speaking?
I lost some of the conditions.
You didn't want to spurt knowledge all the time anymore?
It was gone like I quit drugs. Like all of a sudden, I came from a different level of love that I never thought existed.
Yeah.
So I knew that everything was love. But all of a sudden, I'm at this place where it released so much probably in my body.
Yeah.
That I came and I spoke differently about how I felt about people.
Wow.
And the conditions changed and the rules started changing. My rules,
My
wall, my block started changing. Yeah. That's wisdom for me.
Right.
That's where wisdom plays a role. Yeah. And it's obviously through action and reaction and watching others and learning. But that's where wisdom comes in. I look at, all the mentors I've had in my life that great wisdom. And I wanted to be with just what they were.
Yeah.
Right. First of all, I didn't even know that I was supposed to have my own journey.
Right. And you were to kind of replicate theirs or whatever. Right. So there's a good piece of wisdom is have your own journey. We can be inspired by and we can get templates and
that's a great neurons. Piece. And my mentor used to say to me, time, this I must earn.
Yeah.
Because I was 2 years sober and thought I should be 40 years sober.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And he used to say that and he'd say things to me, when you're 1 year clean, you're just 1 year clean. And I was just like, ugh, what is that? I couldn't understand what that meant till the last 5 years.
Acceptance, right? Accepting ourselves where we're at.
Surrender.
And surrendering
and
to it.
If you keep unraveling and doing, you're going to slowly get out of your head into your heart.
Yeah.
Right? And as you so beautifully have brought this forward around leading with that, I've always had empathy. I've always had sympathy. I've always wanted to help others. In everything I did, even when I wanted to feel whole,
yeah.
Right? There was a way to do it.
Yeah.
From my head. So now, as I live a different way.
That's what I was going to ask. So now, tell the viewers more about now. Like, what is your life like? What are you doing here to be of service?
So, first of all, I'd be of service, but the biggest clarity was just again after some more work I did, self-pity went away. Because I loved to live in whatever, till 2 years ago.
Yeah.
They can't believe what they did to me. I can't believe that happened to me. That I couldn't even shed that level of self to become truly authentic. And actually, none of the stories matter anymore. Okay? So how I live now is I'm able to recognize when my brain or my mind goes into a story. And that's where this idea of embodiment and somatics have helped me.
Yeah.
Because now I know, okay, man, you got to go into your body. You got to become embodied. You got to do, and I have my list of doings, right? But I don't want to live in there anymore. I don't want to live in that other place anymore, right? And so the most important thing to know about wisdom is that this is a process.
Yeah.
I had my own journey. My journey, no one else has the same journey.
We have to earn our wisdom. It's not just given. It doesn't come from a book.
Absolutely.
Now, I think the knowledge that we can get from books or other forms of people sharing it, they can set the tone. They can almost be the the guiding post towards earning some wisdom, but wisdom has to come through earned lived experience.
Right, and the best teachers are those of us that are actually living it.
Yeah.
And we live in a world right now where there's lots of people that are healers and, you know, these people that are playing roles in the world, but true healing comes from experience. You said lived experience.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful thing.
Yeah.
I can't tell anybody what to do anymore.
No.
I can show them.
Yeah, well
said. And I can show them what the result of a lot of years of...
And what are you seeing in your practice now as addiction specialists, interventionists, all those elements you play? What are you seeing now as you're bringing more of the somatic intelligence or creating spaces for wisdom to happen?
Well, so I do intervention very differently now. I do work with a lot of, you know, higher net worth individuals. I work with family offices. I work with a lot of people now, and I've witnessed how the surrounding people around that identified subject are so ill.
Yeah.
So I will bring a whole family in now and do an hour of somatic breath work before we even start talking.
Wow. And get people in a different space. Do you know about the concept? I've had it described to me as that identified patient syndrome, right? Where it's quickly that's what it is, right? It's like, this is the addict, this is the sick person, but really it is a family thing. And so often I've seen it where that identified patient is actually the one that's carrying certain emotional baggage for the family.
No question.
And when you can get them to do breath work before an intervention, that's a beautiful way to
drop them and in. Bringing a situation where we bring radical honesty to that group.
Yeah.
And it's not just the family, Jesse. Like I go to a law firm where someone, a lawyer is having problem. The partners in the law firm, one person is an enabler, one person's angry, one person's tuned out. It doesn't matter. So the point being is that as we look at ancient wisdom and we look at this new thing and how we do it, I try and do intervention differently because I believe if we don't heal the people around that person, and if that person doesn't heal, the rest deserve it.
Yeah, yeah.
They're of value.
Yeah.
And everyone's worthiness, I've learned from me, because until even many years into recovery,
yeah,
I still didn't forgive myself really,
yep,
and yeah, feel worthy enough of the things I was getting that I was punishing myself by continuing patterns that were just deadly and so unhealthy.
Well, right? I love, dear, as you're bringing in the somatics into that. And so I just want to make sure, because you're doing incredible work, Ian, you know, the path you're on is absolutely awesome. What if our viewers do want to keep in touch with you, what's a great way they can still find you these days?
Always on Facebook and Instagram and LinkedIn, Ian Rabb, but also cleansobernow.com is my website. Or
Clean Sober Now?
Yeah, Clean Sober Now.
Okay.
And I have executiverecoverycoaching.com. But more importantly, you know, just look for me, Google me. You'll find out everything good and bad. But the truth, you know, I'm happy to connect. I love working in any environment around this stuff. The passion around it, around the recovery piece.
Yeah.
And the new passion around have had the ability to apprentice a little bit in ceremony and going now into what's to me become incredibly important for me and others.
Yeah. The somatic part and the embodiment part.
100%. The ceremonial work, the community work, bringing people together in community is so much. It's just another, for me, wisdom.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's absolutely necessary to help.
For true healing,
for the people around you.
Well, Ian, I cannot thank you enough for coming on the show today. I know that we touched on, there's so many more things we can open on to. So keep tuned here on Lead With Heart. Thank you, Dr. Ian Rabb. We will be back with more wonderful stories of vulnerability, authenticity in our hearts. So stay tuned here for more. Pura Vida. Take good care.